Good evening, everyone. God bless you, and welcome back to Thomas Village Baptist Church. I pray you've had a blessed day. Hadn't it been a beautiful day out there? The breeze blowing well, and thank you for being with us on Facebook tonight. Thank you for bearing with us this, on Facebook this morning. Again, tonight we're blessed to have Brother Tim Von Adore and Silverleaf Baptist Church participating in our worship service with us. Also, if there's anyone in the parking lot, it's good to have y'all out there as well. But we're not going to hem-haw or beat around the bush. We're going to go ahead and do some praises, and then we'll have our prayer time, and we'll let the Lord speak to us in every way he sees fit through Brother Tim. But I've got a privilege to have my mom and daddy with me tonight, so I'm going to invite my daddy, if he would, to come up here and open us up in a word of prayer tonight and make him take his mask off to pray.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do, Lord, tonight, in the sweet and precious name of Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity we have tonight, dear Heavenly, to gather with others in your name. We thank you we have the freedom in America yet, dear Lord, to meet such as we meet here tonight. We thank you for all those that's listening. And Lord, tonight we pray for each and every precious one of them. Dear Heavenly Father, we're living in hard days and hard times, mixed up times, Heavenly Father. But we, Lord, one thing for sure, we know you're steadfast and true. We ask you, Heavenly Father, tonight for our country. We pray for the church, dear Heavenly Father. It's the hope, I believe, of America tonight, God's people. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our blessed speaker tonight. Give him the words that you'd have him to say. And how much, dear Lord, we admit to you tonight, we need you. We need the Holy Spirit to work the work that only the Holy Spirit can work. And we invite you here tonight, dear Lord, afresh and anew. But thank you again, dear Heavenly Father, for all you've done for us. What you're doing today in these very minutes, dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to keep us now. And we pray this over Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, I know you don't have your Baptist hymnals with you, but tonight we're going to be starting with page 139, or 329. 329, Grace That Is Greater Than All Our Sins. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe, all who are longing to see his face. Will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace. God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Amen. And God knows how to put things together, as Brother Tim was planning. I don't know if he is still, how the Spirit's leading him, but because of the blood tonight, we're going to be talking about the blood as of Christ Jesus, as we this morning had a wonderful view of the cross of Christ Jesus. But again, we do want to say it's great to have you tonight, and we always want you to know that we love you, but more importantly, nobody loves you like Jesus loves you. Nobody's done so much for you or me as Jesus has done for me, and if we'll let him today, he'll do even greater things. And knowing that, I mean, just like this morning, when it was time for the message to come, the prayers that had been lifted up by the people, I believe, at Thomas Village this morning, and those that were looking and knowing what was going on, at the right moment, the radios came on and the Facebook started working, and I don't believe that's chance or accident that God lined that up. The Holy Spirit is stronger than the princes and powers of the air, and so we give God praise for that. And that's why we believe in lifting up prayer needs. But also we are thankful that God does answer our prayers. We always want to remember, number one, those that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. There are millions upon millions upon millions today that if their time is up, then they'll plunge headlong into an eternal damnation and hellfire. And that should burden us. That should break our hearts, as the Bible says that the smoke of their torments will for eternity bellow. And it's not, like Brother Tim told us this morning, the Bible teaches us that hell was created for Satan and his demons, the fallen angels, is what the Word says. And if we go to hell, it's because we have blatantly rejected the gift of salvation in Christ Jesus. And then we want to remember those that are backslidden. We want to remember marriages. We want to remember those that are battling depression at this time. Also, we need to be praying for our school systems. I mean, there is a lot of upheaval, and should we, shouldn't we, if we should, how should we, and all that. And caught up in all that are people's livelihoods, the mental and emotional stability of our students. And, you know, there's a lot that's going on in this, you know, and just to be honest with you, our students don't really, they need to be around each other, you know. We're created to be a people of fellowship and to interact with one another. And then there's the education as well. I mean, they need the education. And so, but we want to continue to pray for Brother Jay and Sister Ruby Keck. Sister Ruby did get out of the hospital. Last time I texted with Sister Judy was early in the week, but she was going to a rehabilitation place, and so continue to pray for them. We've been lifting up Miss Gina Franks. She was battling cancer. She went on into eternity this week, so we want to pray for her. Want to pray for Haley Webb, Harley Oakley, and then the Bishop Roten this morning that was in the wreck this week, lost his grandmother and had to be life-flighted or med-flighted to another hospital. Then we want to continue to pray for Brother Tommy and Sister Alma Mullins. They're still fighting with the COVID-19 and all of that. Texted with Brother Tommy yesterday. Well, I've texted with him since Friday, basically, but just still, Sister Alma's got a cough. She's still fighting with a cough, and Brother Tommy's really battling the shortness of breath and the tightness in his chest area. So we want to continue to pray for them and others that are battling the COVID-19. I talked with someone this afternoon that works at the VA and said that they're as full as they've been since this whole thing right now. So I want to continue to pray for them. I want to pray Frank and Mary Garrett. I want to pray for Gary Atkins and wife. This is a friend of Sister Yvonne's over in Yuma. I don't know how he's doing right now, but I do know they've been battling the corona as well. Patrick Fields, Riley Clement, that's a friend of ours. Johnny Berry, Courtney Hall, Rhonda Bryant, Pauline Weiniger. Continue to pray for Brother Toddy, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Jeanette Carter, Kent Smith, Kinsley Roberts, Jordan, Linda Jordan, Brenda Brown is thankful for her praise report, and she's doing better. I want to continue to pray for Lynn Mullins and Jim Lamb, Nicholas Patrick, Jill Dicer, Merle Edwards, Miss Wilma and Mr. Don Daniels, Cleveland Sext, Mary Snodgrass, Sheila Stanley, JC and Derek Osborne, and the triplets. Want to pray for Cindy Osborne, Sister Catherine Ward, Sister Faye Hill, Miss Ruth Roten, Paul and Becky Hayes, Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields, Sister Hazel Stanley, Sister Peggy Stanley, Sister Alma Bowen, Sister Lottie Johnson, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis Bledsoe. They were with us this morning. Good to see them, but want to continue to pray for them. Want to continue to lift up Brother Kent Smith and Miss Liza Fletcher, Miss Henrietta Roach, Brother Bobby and Miss June Jesse, Sister Margaret and Brother Chet Wheeler, Miss Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Miss Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, and Ryan Luke. And then also continue to pray for our elections as we see it coming, that God's hand just being, we know it's in control, but we need to pray for mercy and that God's man, not only mercy but grace as well, that God's man be put in, because we know that our country is in peril. I mean, we're standing on the brink, I do believe. And so, but praise God, that's where God shows off, is when things are on the brink, when they're teetering on the edge, then when there's no one else that can do anything, it has to be our Lord that does something. And in the lives of his people, he does. Amen. He does. Any other prayer needs tonight? Amen. Amen. And we can multiply as we're in the season of the corona. We can multiply the damage that corona's done, other than the physical or health realm. I mean, it's affected finances, it's affected careers, it's affected families, it's did all that. It's rude. I mean, it has really caused a lot of issues there, and so we want to pray for that. I've not watched any news or heard any news. Did the hurricane do much damage? It still hadn't hit. So praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that, that God's hand has been there. And we will be praying for Brother Nathaniel, and then also Brother Ricky. We've known Brother Ricky for a while, and a good man. Yeah, Brother Billy Flynn, that's a boss man, my ex-boss man. And still good friend. I want to pray for them. But, you know, just like we talked about this morning, how awesome it is and to be able to worship with another church, being at the same time, you know, together with Silverleaf. We do that with our brothers and sisters, even though they may go to other churches and all that. I do want to say congratulations to Brother Sean Bailey, pastor over at Three Bells, and his wife as they've welcomed a new little one into the world. And we're happy for them and with them. And then also we want to tell you to be looking out for something. Me and Brother Tim, or Brother Tim, it's his idea, and I'm just tagging along with it and some other pastors, but kindly on Wednesday nights looking to maybe start a roundtable type discussion over issues that y'all can be in on, you know, kindly watch it and deal with issues of life and have different pastors together talking about it. That's what's awesome about the world we're living in now, that we can have that type of setups. And so just be praying over that. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer right now for our special prayer needs. Yes, sister. Local?
Mm-hmm.
She's local?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there, just pray. The Lord knows the name, and we.
Mary Ruth Gillum.
Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about that, let the family know. I mean, you never know. People's mind can click out on them at any time, too. I mean, it's just do it. But let's have a few moments silence, and then I'll lead us in a word of prayer over these needs. And if you have a prayer need at home, you confess it and just lift it up, and we pray in agreement that God's will be done in that situation. But also, if you have a prayer answered, you know, tell Him about it. Tell Him how thankful you are. And maybe even you want to send it in a message to us, and we'll give praise with you on that. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I come before You right now, and Lord, I just again want to confess to You my sins and my failures and ask You to forgive me of my sins, and Lord, for the main reason that there be no separation between me and You, because, Lord, that's what sin does, and that's what the devil tries to do, but Lord, when we're with You, we're in no safer place, and we're in the place that we're meant to be as human beings in a relationship with our Creator. So tonight, Lord, forgive me for where I failed You, and draw me close to You in Jesus' name, by His mercy and blood. And God, tonight, as we come to You, we just say thank You for being our God. Thank You for being our Savior and our Lord. Thank You for being our provider, our protector, our redeemer, our confidant, our strength, and for being our everything. And God, tonight, as we come before You, Lord, our heart goes out to this family that is missing a loved one. Lord, right now we just pray that she turn up and everything be found well there. But God, we also know, Heavenly Father, Lord, that can be multiplied as well as we think about those that are needing a home tonight and have specific needs in that home, that it needs to be for a physical issue there, in Heavenly Father, Lord. And we just pray for that situation, knowing that You're able, that You major in the when the situations are almost hopeless, that You're able to do great and mighty things. God, we thank You that Sister Ruby's seemingly doing better from what we heard, and we just pray You be with her tonight. And Brother Jay, God, I lift up right now Brother Kent Smith. Lord Jesus, I thank You, Heavenly Father, Lord, for just his testimony and the fight that he's put up. And Lord, You know where he's at right now, and we lift him up to You. God, we pray for Brother Tommy and Sister Alma tonight. And Lord, we just use them as the picture of those that are battling corona right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, the physical issues that are going along with that. And God, we also pray for our teachers, our school system, all those that's trying to make decisions at the county level, the state level, the national level, those that are having to travel, as we think of Brother Frank that has to go from here to there to yon. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray for them, Your hand of protection to be over them. God, we pray for the precious Harper right now, God, and the need that she has. that you be with her and to touch her. Also, we pray for our college students as well. Lord, as they're facing this situation on how it's going to be this semester, and our high school seniors, Lord, as they're looking, Lord, we just really need you to do something amazing. We just ask you to wipe this corona off the face of our country right now. Just do away with it. Blow your breath of the Holy Ghost on our country and just bring a healing in a fashion that would amaze everybody. And we just ask you to do it for your glory. We know that you're able to do it. And whether you do it or not, you're still able, Heavenly Father, Lord. And we praise you for that, that you still can, whether you do or not. Like, and God, let us be like the three Hebrew boys, that our God can deliver us from this fire. But if he doesn't, we will still praise him. We're still going to give you glory and honor. And again, Lord, thank you for this morning's message. Thank you for the time of worship. We just ask you to be with us tonight as we go forward in our time of study. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Brother Tim Vonador from Silverleaf Baptist Church. Come on, brother, and give us what the Lord has.
Good evening. It is good to be back here tonight, and I want to say I appreciate all of all the ones that are tuning in tonight, and want to say thank you for the invitation to be here. It's always another place that I can go and preach and feel comfortable, and appreciate your pastor extending the invitation, and look forward to what God is going to do through him and this church in the future. I want to say thank you to our church for allowing me to be here. The technology and everything is just, everything's worked out to where, you know, we can be in multiple places at one time. And it's amazing how that has happened. But something else I'm thankful for is just all the area pastors and all of multiple denominations just coming together and helping one another and uplifting one another. And it's just refreshing and encouraging to see that take place. And God's good, folks. He's good. And it's good to see Brother Randall and Sister Edie here. Miss them, and I'm glad that they're able to come and spend some time with their heathen, and kind of line him out for, I don't know how much work you can get in a week, brother, but good luck to you. So tonight, we'll look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Going to read just a few verses, and I want to speak on the subject of what the blood can do. This morning we talked about the cross and how it's beneficial to us, and how we can, if we apply how Jesus lived his life, not only during his earthly ministry, but in that moment on Calvary's cross, if we could take some of that the way he acted and portrayed himself, of how much better of people we could be. But tonight, I want to speak on the subject matter of the blood. You know, there's a few subjects that the devil just really doesn't want preached on. And I think that's why the subject matter has went mute in so many pulpits across America now, is because Satan fights pastors so much after the fact, not only up to the time of preaching, but after the fact of preaching on the subject matter of the blood of Jesus. The same thing with the cross. We've seen that this morning. People can say, well, it was a technological error or whatever. You can say what you want to, but Satan has ways of distracting not only the ones that the pastors, but everybody else, from what God wants to do. And just as God is still alive and on the throne, the devil is still very much relevant in this world that we're living in. So Hebrews chapter 9, I want to read through verses 11 through 15. It says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we just thank you for once again to be able to look at your word tonight and just to come together to reflect on it. And just, Lord, I just thank you for the privilege of being able to preach your word tonight. So, Lord, we just ask you to be with each and every one that's listening at home tonight and that's here and maybe in the parking lot. Lord, I just ask you for a fresh anointing tonight, Lord, for the unction to preach your message. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise tonight. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The blood. The blood did something that no other substance could do. The blood is a substance that done a work in the lives of Christians that no other substance could do. So what can the blood do? But first, before we get into that, what does the Bible say about the blood of Christ? Judas called it innocent blood. Innocent blood. Peter called it precious blood. John called it the cleansing blood. He also referred to it as the washing blood and the overcoming blood. Paul called it the blood of Jesus, the purchasing blood, the redeeming blood, the justifying blood. In Colossians, he called it the sanctifying blood. And Jesus said that his blood was the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Folks, there's a lot of people that are trying to get to heaven on their own works and their own ways. But let me tell you, without Jesus and the shedding of his blood, there is no way to get there. Y'all going to have to wake up. There's only a few of you, but come on, all right? Now, think about this. The only hope of our salvation was through the shedding of the blood of Jesus. And I believe that one of the reasons that the church today has lost its power. Now, I know Brother Brian, I know he preaches on the subject matter of the blood because I've sat underneath it. Brother Randall preaches on the subject matter of the blood. But the vast majority of the churches today, they don't preach Jesus anymore. They don't preach that the only way to heaven is through the blood of Jesus. They don't talk about the cross and the power of the blood anymore. Why? Because Satan fights. But let me tell you, it was said that if you take the blood out of the church, you've taken the life out of the church. You've taken the life out of it. You see, the only way that we had a hope of salvation is through the blood of Jesus. Why have so many churches faltered? Why have so many churches closed the doors? Why do we see so many beautiful churches that are full of people but not proclaiming the gospel? Why are we seeing altars not filled? Why are we seeing folks not saved? Well, I'll say that there's probably a blood problem. They're suffering from blood loss. What happens when you lose blood? You get weak first, and then eventually you die off. And we wonder why this happens to so many churches. But sometimes, God's just going to shut it down. You see, that's what's happened all across our great nation. There's been great churches that have been founded and just working straight for the glory of God and whatever His will is. But at some point, something changes. And the Bible tells us it's not God that's changed, but we change. It's very easy, Brother Brian, to preach on an easier subject matter. to just let people know that, hey, it's going to be all right. But guess what? There's some times that it's not going to be all right, at least not on this earth. Now, there's going to be a day that it's going to be all right, where everything's going to be perfect. But people in these times, they want their ears tickled more than they want the truth. They don't want to hear about the blood. They think, well, they talk about blood, it's just gory. No, just as we were referred to a while ago, the blood of Jesus is precious. It's a precious substance, and it's something that people need to hear about. If you take blood away from your body, you die. If you take the blood out of the gospel message dies. That's what happens. Hebrews 9:22 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for our sins. That tells me that if the blood was not shed, that there was no way for our sins to be forgiven. There had to be a sacrifice, and that sacrifice came in the perfect spotless Lamb of Jesus Christ. So what can the blood do for you? Number one, the blood redeems. The blood redeems. Verse 12 said, neither by the blood of goats, but by His own blood He entered into the once and into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The sacrifices of the Old Testament did not have the same power to save men's souls as the power of the blood of Jesus did. The blood came from that come from goats and calves and other animals. That blood was not sufficient as a permanent sacrifice. It was only a temporary coming. But when Jesus shed His blood on Calvary's cross, it was a permanent fixture on the Christian's life. It was something that was there forever and ever. Amen. The blood of animals was not sufficient enough to redeem a lost person. But we've seen this morning that Jesus is reliable. His shedding of blood was sufficient. Sufficient. You see, before the foundation of the earth and all, God knew that there was going to be a need of redemption for lost people. He knew. And He had a plan. He had a plan of how we could be redeemed. So He provided a lamb. So He provided a lamb in the person of His only begotten Son, Jesus. And when it came time, Jesus shed His blood willingly for us. It was innocent, pure, sinless blood. His blood met all the requirements of a worthy sacrifice. Why? Because He was the sacrifice. He was the perfect sacrifice, the one without blemish, the one without spot, the one that come from the splendors of heaven to robe Himself in flesh on this earth to live a sinless life and die on excruciating death on Calvary's cross. Why? So you could have the redeeming blood of Jesus on your life. The blood is important. God knew the cost, but so did Jesus. He knew the sacrifice, and yet He came anyway. He came anyway. You see, we talk about law enforcement and all, and Lord, I pray for them. I've got family members that are in law enforcement. You see, they get a call to a shooting. They have a responsibility to respond to it. But they're men and they're women. At any time, they could drag their feet. They could turn the wrong way to delay them getting there just so somebody else could handle it. So that they didn't have to get in the midst of it. But Jesus was sent to die on a cross. He could have not went. He was the King. He was God robed in flesh. He could have done anything that He wanted. But yet He went. Why? So you could be redeemed. So you could be redeemed. He came for you and He came for me. And I'm not worthy of it, and neither are you. But Jesus came anyway. He knew the sacrifice, and He came anyway. Only the blood of Jesus can redeem you. Number two, the blood gives life. The blood gives life. It says there in the end part of verse 12 that by His own blood He entered into the once, entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You see, in the Old Testament, people had to sacrifice animals annually. They had to continually sacrifice these animals. So the priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, this sacred place, this most inner part of this the tabernacle, and he would sprinkle the blood of a sacrifice on the mercy seat to atone for all the sins of the people. But the priest was the only person that had the access to that place. He was the only one that had access to the inner chamber and had that one-on-one with God. But folks, when Jesus came and He shed His blood on Calvary's cross, that we were told in the Bible that the veil was torn and we had access at that point. Man had access to the Father. Any boy, any woman, it didn't matter who you were or what you did or how much money you have, at that point, because the blood was shed, we gained access to the Father. It says we obtained eternal redemption for us. It refers to a one-time for all type of action. People think that, and everybody has their own beliefs, but I believe that once you're saved, you're saved. I don't believe that you can lose it. I believe that it's forever. If God was to give me a gift that I was able to lose, He surely wouldn't give it to me, because, buddy, you can ask my wife. She keeps up with everything for me. But He gave me a gift that I couldn't lose. It was a permanent covering of my sins. You know, I have to admit my sins. I have to confess my sins continually, because I'm still a sinner. But the blood is still applied to my life. The blood of Jesus covers our sins. John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world." In Mark chapter 5, I believe your pastor at least mentioned this in a sermon a couple weeks ago, we see the account of the woman with the issue of blood. We're told that she suffered for 12 years. And because of the issue of blood, she suffered what they called an unclean life. She had to live, because of this unclean life, a separated life. She couldn't go around anybody else. She had to live her life separated. She spent money. She went to doctors. And only got worse. Why? Because man could not cure the issue. But one day she heard of this man named Jesus. She heard of this man named Jesus. And she knew that if she could only touch the hem of His garment. Just the hem. It wasn't the hem that had power. It was through the faith in the man named Jesus that had power. That if she could just touch the hem of His garment, that she would be healed. This was her only hope, and she knew it. She had faith in it. And we're told that she fought the crowd to get to Jesus. Those folks won't even fight to get out of the bed to get to Jesus now. And this woman fought through a crowd, being unclean, to get to Jesus. She fought through that crowd. She knew Jesus had the power to heal her. She reached out and touched the hem of that garment. And Jesus says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" The disciple said, "Lord, everybody's touching you. Have you not seen the crowd? Everybody's touching you." But yet Jesus says, "Somebody touched me." You see, there's a lot of lost people that bump into Jesus. But there's only a few that reach out and grab Him. Jesus turns around to this woman that is scared to death. She knows she's deemed unclean. She was in the midst of people that could kill her right then. Jesus turns and tells this woman, "Your faith has made you whole." Now you say, "Preacher, this woman was healed." She was. This woman had an issue of blood. But can I tell you, the blood flow really never stopped. You say, "What do you mean?" She was healed. She was healed. If she was healed, the issue of blood stopped. Her issue of blood stopped. But his blood, that had not even been shed yet, cleansed her from head to toe. The blood flow never stopped. And I thank God that it never stops. Brother Brian, if it stopped, we'd be in trouble. We'd be in trouble. Why? Because we sin daily. There's so many people that are lost and they're dying in their sins and they know it. But they don't think that they can get saved because, "Well, my life has been a failure. I'll get going on the straight and narrow, and guess what? I stumble, I fall, and I go right back." Folks, let Jesus work out the details. Jesus can save you just the way you are today. And guess what? If you falter tomorrow, guess what? You can ask for forgiveness and have a clean slate. So what can the blood do for you? It can redeem your lost soul. It can give you eternal life. Number three, the blood cleanses. It cleanses. For if the blood of bulls and the goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, then how much more? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You see, the word "purge" used there means to cleanse and to free from filth. Old Testament sacrifices could never completely cleanse people's sins. But the precious blood of Jesus, if the blood of bulls, of heifers, and animals and all, if they could temporarily cover, then how much could this sacrifice, this ultimate sacrifice, how much more can this person, how much more can this person's blood cleanse me? Can I tell you, He cleanses you completely. Head to toe, left to right, it don't matter what you've done or what you're going to do, it cleanses you. Revelation 1:5 says, "Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us, washed us from our sins with His own blood." For as long as I can remember, we've seen the song, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" And people don't realize, especially lost people, don't know what in the world we're talking about. But once you meet Jesus, once you meet Jesus, and you're saved, and you know you're saved, you know what it means by being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Maybe you're watching tonight and you don't know what it means to have the blood of Jesus to cover your sins. So I want to tell you, being covered by the blood means that you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. And even though you may mess up, the blood still applies to your life. Since you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, you have been justified by Christ. As you see, the blood covering is to where God looks on you and doesn't see you anymore. He sees His Son. He sees the Son instead. You see, it's through the justification of the blood of Jesus we are declared righteous in the eyes of God. And can I tell you, I'll share a secret with you, I'm not righteous. But because Jesus lives within me, God says, "I am. I am." Justification puts us in the right relationship with God. Without Jesus, you can pray to God all you want, but you ain't getting nowhere. You ain't getting nowhere. Only through Jesus can you have an opportunity to have access to the Father. Since you're washed in the blood, you've been justified. And through that, you have access to God. Blood, the blood of Christ, cleanses the deepest sins. The blood has the power and the authority to take the darkest heart and to make it whiter than snow. No sin is too bad that the blood cannot cover. You may be watching at home or listening in the parking lot or here in the sanctuary tonight, and you may have done wicked things. They said, "Preacher, what about murderers? Can they be saved?" Absolutely, as long as the blood's applied. How about a rapist? As long as the blood of Jesus applies. No sin is too great and no sin is too small. Matter of fact, the Bible says that every sin is just as great as the biggest sin. So if you're listening tonight, you're never too lost to be saved. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We serve a whosoever God. That whosoever means that you can put your name there. Tim can be saved. Brian can be saved. Miss Edie can be saved. Talmadge can be saved. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad I serve a whosoever God tonight. And that if you're lost, I'm glad that if you give your life to God, that you can be saved just the same as I have been. If you still have breath in your body, you can be saved. And the blood can do a work that nothing else can do. It's not a preacher that's going to get you into heaven. It's not a Sunday school teacher that's going to get you into heaven. It's not grandma and granddaddy and the way they live their life or even the way you live your life. It is only by the blood of Jesus Christ whereby men must be saved. Number four, the blood can transform you. It can transform you. I'll read verse 14 again. It says, How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This verse speaks on a new life in Christ. You see, once we are not saved because of what we do. We are saved because of what Christ did on Calvary's cross on our behalf. You see, the change that comes in our life is a direct reflection of the Savior that is inside of us. People say, "Well, I work for the church, and I teach Sunday school." That's not what it's all about. People say, get it confused that it's by works you're saved. No. Works is a direct reflection of your salvation. I never had a want or a desire to go to a Baptist business meeting before I was saved. And most saved people don't have a desire to go to a Baptist business meeting. But once I truly surrendered to the will of God, and He started doing a work in my life, guess what? I didn't care what they were doing at church. I wanted to be there. If our church wasn't having service, guess what? I wanted to be with somebody that was having service. Why? Because I was being transformed. And every day of our life is a life of transformation. It's not something that just happens just right then, but it's a gradual growth through our Christian life. We work and we serve and God grows us. Folks, there's power in the blood of Jesus. Sacrifices of animals, bloods and of bulls and goats and all those things, they couldn't produce a transformation. You go out and kill a cow and build you an altar and sprinkle that blood on it. You know what you've done? You've killed a cow and you spread blood on the altar. Only the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross has the power to transform your life. You see, when an individual left the temple after presenting his or her sacrifice, they left the same as what they went. But when somebody meets the Savior, I asked a lot, how do you know that you truly get saved? Because that is a question. That is a topic. That is a good one, a hot topic, if you would. How do you know that you truly are saved? The easiest way to explain it: did you leave different than when you went to the altar? Is there a change that's taking place? If you're doing the same things and you don't feel guilty about it, guess what? You probably didn't get saved. Why? Because the Bible says that you're going to be a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. And the new man is not going to want to do what the old man did. You're a new creation. When somebody meets the Savior, when you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, there's a change that takes place in your life. No matter where you've been or what you've done, God transforms you. And it's a promise that comes through the precious promise in the Son of Jesus Christ. God's Son cleanses us from all sins. The blood can transform you. But also, and I'll close with this, the blood gives you a new home. The truth of the matter is, folks, we're going to die one day. We don't like to talk about the blood, and we sure don't like to talk about death. Me and Sierra were riding down the road the other day, and we were talking about that subject of how we needed to make sure that we had all of our I's dotted and T's crossed. So if something happened to us, that our kids were taken care of, and they were where we wanted them to be. There's going to come a time that we're going to draw our last breath. And the Bible says you will either open your eyes up in heaven or in hell. Now the world will tell you a lot of different things. That there's a lot of ways that there's nothing at the end of this world. You're just going to die, or you're going to come back as an animal, or you're going to come back as whatever. But the Bible says you're either going to be alive and well in heaven, or you're going to be alive in hell. But the location is completely up to you. In order to have a new home, it had to be purchased. Jesus, by shedding His blood, purchased that new home. But in order to receive that new home, you've got to accept it as your own. Jesus already paid the price for it. He signed the bill. He paid for it in full. But it doesn't do any good if you don't cash the check. You see, the gift of God is salvation. But it's a gift. It's something you must receive as your own. For the blood to be applied to your life, you have to receive the gift of Jesus. You have to receive Him as your personal Savior. And if you do this, you are promised a home in glory that has been designed and has been built by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's been built specifically for you. And you ain't got to pay for it. What have you got to do? Accept Christ as your personal Savior and live your life for Him. So I'm going to close with this thought, and I'm going to turn it over to Brother Brian. What's keeping you from trusting Jesus tonight? I know this is Sunday night, and probably it's going to be home folks, either Thomas Village or Silver Leaves, that's going to be watching, but maybe somebody who's watching tonight and they're lost. What's keeping you from being saved? As I said earlier, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's keeping you from doing it? There's no sin that can't be forgiven. There's no man or woman, no child, that cannot be saved. It's a matter of you accepting Christ as your Savior. The blood can transform your life. He can redeem you tonight. He can transform you. He can save you and give you a new home in the future. Brother Brian.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Probably one of my top verses of Scripture is found over in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 11. And it's talking about the great war in heaven and the dragon fell and all that. But right there in it, it talks about the accuser of the brethren and how the enemy tries to condemn us. And then you know how it said they overcame him? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. By the blood of the Lamb. That they confessed that the blood of Jesus Christ is enough. And that they're not trusting in anything else but Him and the blood that He shed. You see, that's what it means to receive by faith. Lord, I believe that You're enough. I believe that I don't need anything else in my life but You. And tonight, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, the Bible literally says He is but a breath away, meaning we could die and meet Him right now. But more specifically, what it means is that the prayer of faith tonight, I want you to think right now, like He said. Not years ago I did this, or years ago I prayed this prayer or went to bed. No, right now, if you were to die, do you know where you would spend an eternity? The only way you're going to know is either you know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And tonight, that's what our concern is. We want you to have it. And tonight, to the believer that's listening, we need to recognize the time. We need to recognize that the Bible says that when Christ comes back, it's going to be as a thief in the night. Unprepared people. We who are the believers, we're not to be unprepared. We need to recognize the time. And He could be there at any moment. And so right now, I want to have a word of prayer with you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I don't want to tell you how to pray. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But the Bible says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When I got saved, the day that I got saved, basically, here's what I prayed. I was sitting over in Tazewell, New Tazewell, Tennessee, Camp Jubilee, behind a post in a shed type building. And basically, I told the Lord this: I've heard about You all my life, and my life is in shambles. And I don't know if You can do anything with it, but if You'll take it, I'll live it for You. And that was basically the extent of my prayer that night. And if you tonight will say, Lord, I want You to be my Savior. I want You to take me and make me Yours. Whatever that comes out of, ever how that comes out of your mouth, that's fine. But if you do it, won't you text me, text Brother Tim, post it on our Facebook page so we can go touch base with you or something like that. And again, it's been good to worship with you today, Silverleaf. Been thankful of some of those names. I've not seen y'all in a while, but it's good to know you there. And we know, Brother Tim was talking about Brother Harold this morning. Well, we know Brother Harold. We had Scotty around here for a good while, and he's out preaching too. So it's good. Thankful for the legacy Silverleaf has and the, what God's done through them. But again, thank you, Brother Frank. It's good to have you with us. I'm appreciative of you and Sister Melissa, the work y'all put in today, and Brother Ken and Brother Rick, all the work that they do. But Brother Frank, would you come and close us out in a word of prayer tonight? God bless you. We love you, and be looking forward to meeting again with you on Wednesday night.
Let's bow our head and we'll close out in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message this evening, Lord, and we thank you for all those that were able to listen, Lord, and we know nothing happens by accident. And as Brother Tim, Brother Brian said, it's so simple, Lord, if you'll just humble yourself and just, if you're not saved, you just need to humble yourself, Lord, and just come to you, Lord, and just ask for forgiveness. And we pray that that happens this evening, Lord, as a result of your word going out. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings you give us. And we know, Lord, that there's many troubling times in this world, Lord, and there's many things going around that disturb and cause us to doubt at times. But we thank you, Lord, that we can have that peace that you give us, Lord, once you know you as our personal Savior. And we ask you, Lord, that you just give that peace to those that are seeking it tonight. And I pray, Lord, that as you tell us in your word will not return void, Lord. Amen. And we just thank you for that, Lord, and we claim that this evening. And we ask, Lord, as we go out into this week, that you would just lead, guide, and direct us, that you would give us opportunities to witness, Lord. As mentioned here tonight, Tim, as Tim preached, Lord, that there's many out there looking, Lord, and we just pray that you give us opportunity to praise you, Lord, through just telling others what you've done for us individually. And we just thank you for all you've done, and most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And in his name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.